Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, my name is Cliff.
Hello, my name's Fred, and this is the Flea Circus, isn't it?
Fred, it is, yes.
Flea Circus, because you never said that then.
I was going to apologise for the noise because the fat truck's there, sucking the fat out of the takeaways that are on the street level. So it's a bit noisy, but it looks like it's about done. But anyway, then the police have turned up.
On my travels, I heard one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life. You know the Alton Towers song, in the Hall of the Mountain King, that one. On my travels, I was there, someone was blasting a techno version of that out the window. It's one of the worst things I've ever heard. Apparently so. I like a bit of techno, you know, but not that.
No, that's that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, rock stars do versions of classical music and stuff. It's always fucking
What's
shit.
The one? Is there a Jason Derulo one? Jason Derulo.
You always talk about him. It's a couple of times you've mentioned him. You got some kind of fascination with him. I don't know who he is, man. So we're talking a little bit about the Johnny Depp thing, which I've been watching, which is is very.
Is he a free man yet?
And the lawyer goes through, we're going to fast forward in time a little bit now. And Johnny Depp goes, yes, I can feel it.
It's funny, isn't it, when you're watching performers? Because
yeah, but he's just being himself. He's still funny, isn't he?
But I think they're obviously both using that talent. He's playing a good guy character and a scared character. Well, and she's doing her bit. It's interesting rather than, because I've been in court loads of times with people, and you don't have to be Johnny Depp. There's the people who are given testimonies or whatever. If they're in the wrong or partly in the wrong or part of it, they always try and ham it up and and trick the.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Like that. They always do, but they never really manage it.
Though, isn't it?
But obviously, in this, you've got actual actors doing it. The fat truck's causing some more bother down there.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I can hear that. Anyway. So it just siphons the fat from the streets.
It just sucks it we've got these burger shops and that down there and fried chicken and stuff. And it just sucks disposes of the shop fat.
Maybe South Shields should invest in that then and put it on Ocean Road, because you slide around the place with the fat on Ocean Road.
I'm going to show you. It's a very slippery surface, isn't it?
It's a very slippery place. Oh, I managed to finish that game, Elden Ring. You know how I told you I was playing on that game?
Oh, yes. I took that in.
Yeah. It only took us 180 hours to do it. So that's quite an achievement.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I've got no idea. it seems like a long time, doesn't it?
It really does seem like a long time, but you got your money's worth.
It's a very hard game, Cliff. I'd like to see you have a go at it sometimes.
I probably won't.
You're not going to, are you?
I'm not very good at games, Brett. No.
You must be good at those games I lent you in 1998, I think, and I still haven't received back.
But Brett, I've never even had the same computer as you.
Well, what do you take them for? Just take them straight to secondhand rooms.
Oh shit, I remember now, yeah. I did.
Straight to secondhand rooms because it was just around the corner. Mm-hmm. You'll learn this, Brett. And this. And that.
Uh-huh. It was the PlayStation, wasn't it?
It was. So you didn't even have a PlayStation.
No, I did. That was the I thought we were talking about something else.
What, there's other stuff you've nicked?
No, of course not.
Well, you've just dropped yourself in it there. I think you'll find that you've just said that you did nick some other stuff.
No, I didn't. I promise you. I forgot about the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. I forgot about those years, is what I'm saying. I couldn't remember those
years. Oh, you forgot about the whole years. Oh, well, that's fine. That's fair enough.
But the games probably still exist at my mum and dad's, if you want to.
No. I'm not going around your mum and dad's loft.
Yeah,
I know it's a treasure trove.
My mum was saying, "Oh, it was my dad was saying he's going to retire next year. I don't know whether he can or whatever, but he's saying he is.
Is he?
And he said he's going to sort the loft out once and for all. So
well, haven't got. I'll go around there. I'll go around when Mr. Clifford retires, mm-hmm. and have a little rummage. Do you know what I mean? It'll be like, have you ever seen a program called The Toy Hunter, Cliff?
No, but I like the sound of it, unless it's sinister.
It's not sinister. It's meant, it's a bit like Bargain Hunt or whatever, like those type of things. Uh-huh. But it's American, and a man just gets in people's loft and looks for He-Man figures and that.
Good,
it's
like class. That. That sounds good.
Yeah, we'll have to do it one time.
Does he take them, or does he give them the chance to do something with them?
Does he take them? Does he steal them? Like you,
Cliff? No, hey, thanks very much. Great laugh you got there. I'll just take I'll cut these. Thanks. See
you. Don't mind this sack I've got. No, it's none of that going on. But yeah, it's really good. There's some good toys.
I like the sound of that. Where do you watch that?
Some of them on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube, Cliff, isn't
it? I don't really watch telly on YouTube unless it's for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. It might be.
I don't really
it
go on YouTube well a lot otherwise.
I do, actually. I've found myself going on YouTube quite a lot for various things.
But it's where the conspiracy theorists live, isn't it?
Mainly, Cliff, to find out how to do that fucking Elden Ring.
Who have you been watching? KSI playing now.
Oh, so some of the people who put the videos are right dickheads. Oh, honestly, I've hated myself for watching those videos.
I'll just give you that's good. The tuck's gone.
Thanks.
It looks like it's left the residue.
The residue of fat.
There's something on there anyway.
It hasn't really done its job, has it? If it's leaving fat behind it, sucking the fat up and just leaving the trail of
deposit.
It. Yeah. So like a teenage boy's bedroom.
I just said to Jane, she went, what are you talking about tonight? I said, I'm talking about Michael Barrymore. And she went, don't be offensive. Don't talk about bumming and all of that stuff. And I said, no, we're not going to talk any of that.
No, we're not.
Although you have brought it up. Well, that was my way of saying it, but that we're not going to say anymore.
Right.
Believe it or not, I'm a big fan of Michael Barrymore, and I wanted to watch Strike and Lucky because I think it's excellent and he's excellent. Uh-huh. She didn't believe us, but it's the truth, Brett. And we did watch an episode of Strike and Lucky, and I watched an episode of his chat show Barrymore, and I was laughed out loud numerous times throughout the entire thing. I've thoroughly enjoyed both of them.
I watched Strike It Lucky, as you did. I only watched a little bit of Barrymore, the chat show, due to time constraints.
It's okay, you've got your time constraint. Don't worry about that.
I certainly have.
You had a sleep before this. I watched Barrymore.
Yes, that's what happened. But much like you, especially as like a kid and that, I thought Michael Barrymore was the funniest man on the planet, probably him and Eddie Murphy. Do you know what I mean?
In many ways, he was British mint. Eddie Murphy.
In many ways, he is. In many ways, he is. But he was class. And it, the thing that was class about him was the way that he got on seemingly with everybody, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was like...
Every kind
it,
of
it didn't matter. Every kind. And that's why that show was made, wasn't it? Because he could sort of get on with everybody. Didn't matter if they were an older person. It didn't matter if they were a younger person.
Princess Diana.
And it would always be funny. It would always be funny. So I loved watching Strike Your Lucky. Yeah, I used to look forward to watching it.
It was class.
Every single.
It was absolutely class. I liked the game element of it, which is something sorely lacking in modern game shows. Like actually enjoying playing along with the game.
Exactly. And also, it's short. It doesn't last for a frigging hour where you're bored out your mind.
Yeah.
It's like half an hour or something like that, and it just flies by. Mm-hmm. It engages you. You want to answer the questions? Do you know what I mean? They're quite easy, the questions, aren't they? It's nothing taxing.
Oh, and I think that's another thing that's good about it, because being able to answer the questions allows you to actually play the game of the game show, and that's really important bit. And the fact that almost anybody contestant on it will win something, and that's another thing that I think we've said before when we talk about Funhouse and stuff like that, is you kind of got excited about the prizes they're winning as well.
Yeah.
Like, it just in general, even though it was you weren't winning them, you just got excited by seeing what they were. A trip to New Orleans, like, wow, what? Like,
yeah, it's meant.
A car phone, even. Like, you would be like, wow, car phone. Like, you would obviously want them. But
apart from the lady on the show. But we'll get out of here. But yeah, I mean, the fact that the questions were easy, relatively easy, meant that anybody could go on as well. You could get older people on and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a wide range of contestants on there. It's not something where it's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or whatever, where you've got to know loads of shit. You didn't,
exactly.
Did you?
No, it's
the pressure's taken off the contestants, isn't it?
It is a bit.
They can be themselves.
Some of the questions are, like, not easy, but I was like, oh, good on you. Good on you for doing that. I was like, yeah, that's good. So it's basically Michael Barrymore was in the 80s and 90s one of the most, if not the most famous man on telly, on British telly. He's one of those all-round comedians that people kind of lament don't exist anymore, all-round entertainers that, like, just they do, but they don't really exist anymore. And it's one of the reasons why Ant and Dec are so well liked, is because they have the same kind of quality, like, just people like them, and they've got a show where it's a bit funny. There's real people on it. There's some games and there's some stuff like that going on, and they're like the only people on telly now, mainstream telly, that. Or anywhere near
or
Barrymore's. I've just read actually that he was the last person to win like best British entertainer or something.
Stop reading these things, because these are in the quiz later on.
Oh, okay.
Okay, stop reading your facts.
Okay, I'll stop. But anyway, Strike It Lucky started in 1986 and it's ITV. Game show on ITV was made in the regions. It was London Weekend Television, I think, who made this one. And Barrymore was already super famous by that point. But as a personality, he tried loads of different TV shows and none of them had really taken off. He'd been given his own TV shows to present, variety shows and stuff like that on BBC and ITV. But he was kind of known because he was a star of stuff like the Royal Variety Performance, where he'll come on and be funny for 10 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was a guest on TV shows like Blankety Blank and stuff like that. But when he first started...
And he was started, a warm-up
man,
as well.
Yeah. And the thing is with warm-up people, like, you've got to have the kind of generic funniness, haven't you? Because your job is to make everyone laugh before a comedian.
And you've also got to have a connection with the audience, don't you? Because this all happens. A warm-up man's basically goes on before the show starts, isn't he? And he gets the crowd going and stuff like that. None of it's televised, is it? It's to get the crowd going, isn't it?
Yeah. So until Strike It Lucky in 1986, he hadn't really had his own show that like stuck. But then when this came out, he just became massive, and it ran for years until 1999. Well, it came back in 1996, A Strike It Rich. And I think the fact that it changed, and it was called Michael Barrymore's Strike It Rich. And I think that change kind of goes hand in hand with a change in his fortunes and a change in his kind of personality, or what his TV personality was. But we'll probably touch on that a little bit later, because it's an important part of the Barrymore story. But we watched an episode of Strikin' Lucky from 1993, I think. So he was, I mean, he's huge. He is the most famous man on British telly at the time. I mean, BBC had Forsyth, I guess, and Wogan at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were old in comparison, weren't they? Like, he's in his 30s, I suppose, at this point.
Yeah, he's like the new kid on the block, I guess, isn't he? And he's made a massive success of it. Like I say, I used to look forward to watching it every week. Wasn't it on like a weird day, like a Thursday or something? It wasn't Saturday, was it?
I don't think it was a weekend one. I think it was a midweek show, yeah. I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm sure it was like a Thursday or a Wednesday or something. You just remember sitting down with the family, watching it. And again, one of these kind of throwbacks to sort of some of them that doesn't really happen anymore, where the family sit down and watch it. Everybody enjoys it. Everybody
at the same time,
it, you know what I mean?
Every week. Uh-huh. Like that, just for all kinds, every part of that doesn't happen anymore.
I mean, as a family, we still try and do that. Do you know what I mean? Lisa definitely tries to do that, where there's a quiz show that she's found that she likes or whatever. But they're on too long. You can't. She is, to be fair, because she's very family oriented. She wants all together. She wants maybe to do what she did as a kid, because it doesn't hold my interest as it did as a kid, because they're on too long. I don't like particularly the presenters anymore.
You got to Bradley Walsh, he's all right.
Yeah, Bradley Walsh is all right. I mean, we always sit down to the dinner table and stuff, and we'll watch The Chase and stuff like that. So we'll watch that while we're eating, I guess. But it's different to a sort of, you know, a later on in the night type thing.
Yeah.
They're just people who do these shows that just need, you know, half an hour, that's it. Make it fast, you know. People haven't got, you know, they've got different things to do. Kids go off or whatever and do frigging games and stuff.
Well, this one that we watch is 23 minutes long, and you've got two halves.
Because you've got the adverts, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were cut out, unfortunately for us.
Unfortunately cut out. it's 23 minutes long. You've got two halves of it. You've got a game where there's three teams playing and winning prizes and competing against each other. Then you've got the grand finale with the winning team from that gets their own, like, a super ending where the big prizes are on offer. 23 minutes, 11 minutes, a half. Like, it's amazing. Like, they get through it. It's not rushed. It's not, there's not bits cut out of it, because you can't cut it out, because this game is very sequential, so you couldn't cut any bits out. They manage to do it, so why do we have to watch boring people doing unlikable things for like an hour?
It doesn't make any sense. Maybe because there isn't presenters like Barrymore anymore. Maybe because he was so good at it. Do you know what I mean? He manages to get through the game, right, which is obviously important, but you also get his sort of connection with the contestants as well, and generally he generally picks up on one or two, doesn't he? And he sticks with that. I think that's a clever thing that he does.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, obviously the researchers and the people who are picking the contestants will play a big part in that. Because the first thing you said to me when I said we're going to watch this, you said, is there an old person on it?
Yeah, because that's what you remember, isn't it? They are the best bits. Because he's so good at, again, connecting with that person, isn't he?
And the thing is, he's
funny. You want them to win, don't you?
I mean, the end of this episode is absolutely exhilarating. You're like right there. Really, you're like on the edge of your seat. You're like proper egg that you're like so chuffed. But the thing is, he's he's naughty as well, isn't he? Which ultimately like didn't turn out very well for him. But he takes the piss a little bit when he's on the right side of it. He's like a bit saucy. He says stuff that's a bit close to the knuckle, where the kids in the family won't get, but the parents will be like, I can't believe you said that.
Which is what you need as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And you know, apart from that, he's a big presence. You know, I don't know how tall he is, but he looks like he must be about 6'5". He's like a beanpole. He's a very striking character. Also, a big thing, I think, like a working class London accent. Like he's not he's not a posh public school guy or with a newsreader voice. And I think that helps as well, because it gives him a connection with the Southerners who are on it, or the Londoners who are on it. It gives him a bit of joking with some of the Northerners and people from elsewhere, from the, what are they called?
the Rust Belt.
The provinces.
The provinces. that's the thing. It's like he has a connection where everybody was, or didn't he? He could connect with anybody from any walk of life or whatever. Didn't matter who they were, he would always connect. And it was that sort of feeling that you'd like to have a little bit of a chat, a pint with Barrymore, wouldn't you?
You did think like you'd want a bit of that banter from him, wouldn't you?
Of course you would. It was captivating stuff. So just to explain the show, it's very really simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's multiple choice questions. You can pick whether you want two or three, isn't it? So the multiple
four,
choice questions.
Four, but nobody goes for four.
Is it four as well? I wasn't sure about that. So all you do, you've got one person answering the question. It's a couple. You've got one person answering the question, and the other person is basically pressing buttons on a television
playing
screen. Playing the game. And what you've got to do is make your way to the end. And if you get to the end, there's a final question.
Yeah.
And if you answer that question, you get to the jackpot stage.
Yeah.
But there's things stopping you, which are called hotspots.
Yeah.
So if you get a hotspot, you don't win anything.
It gives you a little hint of what the question's going to be themed around. So you'll say it's authors or famous singers or country stars or whatever. Then you say, oh, I'll have, I'm sure it's two, three, or four. You answer two, three, or four questions, or maybe it's one, two,
maybe.
Or three. And they go, oh, well, I don't really fancy that topic, so I'll just go for one. You get one question, that means you get one. You get to move one space along the board. And let's say there's 10 spaces until you get to the end. Answer two, you get to move two. Uh-huh. Answer three, you get to move three. Really simple. You press the button on the telly. Again, in the late 80s and early 90s, I just thought that was good. Just pressing the button on the telly, and then you saw what came up. What is
it? Exactly.
And there was three options.
I thought it was absolutely class.
Three options. Well done. Move on to the next one.
An arrow.
Question. Ooh, got a question. Oh, yeah. No, that's only the end one, right? Or is it?
No.
Is it not just a prize, though? No, I think it's a move on, a prize, or a hotspot.
Yes, I think you're right. I think it's afterwards where there's a question.
So there's the three options. And if you get a move on, you can just stop here if you want, because the next one might be a hotspot. And if you get the hotspot, your turn's over.
You lose your prizes. Uh-huh. Yes, you lose your prizes if you don't.
Probably worth mentioning his catchphrases.
Yes. Go on then.
It's all good.
Do it in your best Barrymore impression.
All good game show hosts have catchphrases, don't they? Like entertainment.
Of course they do. It's
so his is quite simply
needed.
All right. So he says
All right
to the crowd. And then of course then there's also, and they of course they say yes. And then there's also
I think they go all right as well, don't they?
All right. And then he goes all right at the back. And they go, all right. And then he knows everyone's all white. And then he says, a hotspot. You don't want to get a hotspot because what's a hotspot not?
No, the thing is, Cliff, I did not know what the audience shouted back at him until
whatever, now. Until right now. So I've just read Wikipedia, and I think Wikipedia has it slightly wrong, because what's a hotspot not? And the crowd say, a good spot. It's not a good spot, is it? It's a hotspot. It's a bad spot.
Exactly.
But Wikipedia says they reply, not a good spot. Which sounds a little bit more kind of school.
Who writes this stuff, Cliff? But yeah, I had no idea what the response was to that.
There's one more.
I knew it wasn't a good spot. The end.
You just had to say what you felt in your heart. You moved your way along, and during this, of course, he has some crack with the contestants. So before this, he obviously speaks to them. So the first couple are like, I don't know, a couple in their late 50s or something. They're probably about 40, given what people look like in the 80s and 90s. But
on this particular episode, we'll have Kathy and Gordon, who announces that Gordon is a fourth husband. And we'll find out pretty much why. During the course.
Barrymore says, all right, nice to have you. She goes, all right, mate. He's like, all right.
He's a bit taken aback by a blunt.
She's a bit forward.
And I'll tell you, Cliff, she's a very blunt lady, this one.
Very blunt. I'm going to also say, not very likeable.
Not very likeable. The wife walked went, Gordon. She's very rude.
She's very rude. Poor Gordon. I was going to say long-suffering, but probably not because he's a fourth husband.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't think Barrymore likes her very much. So he kind of moves. He obviously finds the fact that he can have a bit of, like, crack with her. We can probably be a bit mean to her because she's a bit.
Well, I think he treats her with kid gloves because she could go off at any moment. I think he realizes that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So there's times where she's pressing the buttons and stuff like that, and she gets a prize, and she just goes, "I don't want it."
Don't need it.
Don't need it. Don't want it. So when Barrymore's finished with her and he comes down the stairs and stuff, he's always looking over his shoulder.
Yeah,
he's just doing it.
Yeah, he's one of those where he keeps giving a little glance to the camera and go, "Yeah, right. Fucking hell, I've got me working out here."
Who's let her on?
He gives Gordon I think when he goes past Gordon, he just holds his hand for a couple of seconds as he goes past.
Pass his hand very gently.
Then, in stark contrast, you've got the second couple. Have you got their names written down?
Yes, the second couple are Jane and Andrew from Yeovil.
You're from Yeovil. Not a couple, are they? Because Jane is Andrew's wife's best friend.
He says, "Well, what's your relationship?" And Andrew goes, he points right in her face. It's the wife's best friend.
What?
I don't get the wife on, could you?
That's not a relationship that would ever. And that relationship would never end in a TV appearance. Like, no chance.
Well, not these days.
What do you think of your wife's best friend? Get on with her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take on the chase. Well, we've booked a hotel for you. It's a single room. What's going on?
So he answers the questions. He's not very good, and he hasn't got much background.
Well, he is good. He's a little bit overconfident, I'd say, because he does run through them really quickly, but he makes a drastic mistake on one of the questions.
He makes a huge, catastrophic mistake.
He certainly does.
Which he cannot and does not come back from.
That doesn't, doesn't it? That doesn't.
So what's the question?
So the question is about adverts. That's what it's about. And he says to him, finish the end of this advert or whatever. And he says, all because the lady loves. And the vlog's he's gone really fast through all the other questions.
Yeah.
And he goes, black magic. I'm afraid. Obviously, we know what that's milk tray.
Barry was even happy, is he?
He's rather shocked.
He is. Yeah, because he's rattling off the answers, all because the lady loves black magic. And then I think he's like life flashes before his eyes when he says that. He's just shell-shocked, isn't he? He's shell-shocked.
Yeah, you can see him.
Incompetence.
You can see that he knew what the answer was. And he's just completely messed it up, hasn't he? And it's that realisation in his eyes. that that's just happened, and he feels like an idiot. Mm-hmm. But we all knew that he knew the answer, really, to give him credit.
Barrymore apologises to him at the end, doesn't he?
I knew you knew that answer. So that's another bit of Barrymore's, like, you know, personable ways, isn't it? That he took time out to say, you know, he didn't make him feel like a fool or anything, did he? Do you know what I mean?
He didn't. I mean, he obviously thought he
was. Which some people might have. He obviously thought he was. No, I don't think he did. I think he knew that.
But anyway, those two couples.
That brings on to the last couple.
They're really the warm up acts for the last couple.
Yes. Who are the best? And that is Doreen and Kay.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Doreen, a lovely old lady, both from a village outside of York. What's their relationship, Brett?
Well, Kay is Doreen's warden.
Probably employed to keep her out of trouble, I would say.
I would imagine so, because she's a bit of a firecracker, isn't she, Doreen?
What a character, a brilliant character.
She's class. Typical northeast lass, isn't she?
And Barrymore goes a bit far with her, doesn't he? He's confident that he can have a bit of fun with Doreen.
He certainly is.
He says, you know, married Doreen? He said, her husband died. He says, no new romance on the horizon. And she says, I can't be doing with huffing and chuffing at my age.
Huffing and chuffing.
And Barrymore's like, you are. And she says, huffing and chuffing. I can't be bothered with that at my age. He's like, okay. And then anyway, he says, what are you going to do if you win? What would you like to do? And she says, well, I'd like to go out with you. To Barrymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And he says, oh, would you? All right. Why do you think that? She says, well, you've got the personality, haven't you? Great thing to say. Anyway, and he goes, would there be any chance of huffing and chuffing after the dip?
Huffing and chuffing. I love that. I love the huffing and chuffing bit like that. I've never heard that. I mean, like,
no, me neither.
It's quite simply something Doreen's made up. Yeah, isn't it?
Barrymore hasn't.
That she calls it.
He's pissing himself when she says it as well. It's great. It's really good. Uh-huh. And then the other good thing about Doreen,
yeah, is that she's brought along a little something with her, hasn't she? And a medicine bottle.
She's got a bottle of medicine.
Bottle of brandy and soda.
I mean, the soda is a weird choice to put in a tiny medicine.
It's certainly hard to think. Knowing Doreen, there's no soda. No, I think she's full of brandy, isn't it?
It could just be medicine. She drank enough of that and she'd be all right.
She drank the whole bottle by the end of the show.
What have you got with you there, Doreen? It's just me morphine.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's got that little running joke that she's having a sip of that when she's nervous because she says she's intimidated by the cameras and the TV set.
But Barrymore, he kind of instigates the drinking of it, doesn't he? He tells her to get it out at various points and stuff like that, doesn't he?
It's a little running joke for him to keep coming back to, isn't it? It's nice. It's a good thing like that keeps it going. So yeah, you get introduced to them. Then you have you've got the woman at the top, Kathy, who doesn't want any of the prizes. I don't want it. Don't need it.
She's weird. Just terrible, isn't she? It's really weird.
What have you got on it?
It's just so blunt and stuff. I don't know if that's just that personality, you know, it must be. That's the thing. But yeah, she's really blunt. And Barrymore's taken aback by her completely.
The middle couple,
couple, I would say. They're not middle one, apart from the weird relationship with their best friend's wife. But
they never managed to get past that mistake. So they don't get anywhere near women, really. But Doreen and Kay, what I'm going to say is, they got it the right way around with answering the questions and moving along the board.
They certainly did.
Knew everything.
Yeah, Kay's very clever, isn't she? She's very good. I mean, what I would say about Kathy is she does get to the end, right to the end.
Yeah.
She's gone all the way through saying, no, I don't want it. It's rubbish. I don't want that. I don't need that. She gets right to the end where they can either take the prize, and generally the prize is quite a big one. In this case, I think it's a trip to New Orleans or something.
Yeah.
But they decide to bant that rather against the grain with Kathy, don't they? You wouldn't imagine.
I'd love to have seen Kathy in New Orleans. Getting down with
have chilled out a bit, man.
Getting down with the jazz.
Down with the jazz. Yeah, with the little reefers and that, she would have chilled out. She would have been fine.
Would you like to come into to Moore's Jazz Club tonight, ma'am? No, I don't.
Don't like it.
No, I don't like it.
It's a load of rubbish, that. Didn't even know why I'm here. I should have answered the question and go at the jackpot.
Yeah, so right at the end, she decides to bank it. It is a good prize, but...
Of course it is.
You've got one more question you're going to get.
She would have been better off in the swamps, though, wouldn't she? She would have preferred the swamps.
Do you want to swap it for the swamps of Louisiana?
You want to go at the swamps? Definitely.
So yeah.
Yes.
Basically, Kay and Doreen get all the way along. He has a bit of banter with her about having a little drink along the way and stuff like that. But then they win, and it's great, and very happy for them.
They win, they go through to the jackpot stage where you can win £5,000.
Honestly, this section, I used to love this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Two things. One.
Right.
You go,
see if they're the same as mine, Cliff.
Well, one of them, I'm absolutely confident it will be. One of them is,
right,
you want to, you've got a chance, right? So,
mm-hmm,
do you want to try and win £5,000, £4,000, or £3,000? Whatever one you choose, the highest one, you can only get two hotspots all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go for £2,000, you can get five hotspots all the way across. Or whatever. So, brilliantly on this, they go for five. They don't, because you think everyone's going to go for the middle one. But yeah, they each go for five. You'll only have two hotspots, so you're giving yourself a harder chance to get across. So
we'll
what
only be
is,
here once, Cliff.
It will only be here once. That's what they say. So what happens is you've got,
yeah,
let's say there's 10 screens from left to right. You've got three, lots of them, obviously, top, middle, or bottom. Another great catchphrase from Barrymore, because he always says, well, yeah, you want top, middle, or bottom?
Top, middle, or bottom.
So that's one thing I love, that he says that all the time. And then, so you've got 10 arrows
in a
row.
And we'll have the audience involved in that as well, don't we?
Yeah,
the audience participation. Yeah, which is always good.
So you've got 10 arrows from left to right. Then you've got 10 hotspots from left to right. You've got 10 questions from left to right. Then what happens, Brett? Because it's the best thing in the entire episode.
Well, we jumble them all up, don't we?
Jumble them up.
It shows you every single screen getting jumbled up. Now, as a kid, what I used to do, right, and I don't know if you used to do this, I used to try and look at every screen at the same time and see where the hot spots were to try and avoid them, mm-hmm, or the arrows to see, and it would never work.
No, obviously. I don't think it's impossible.
It's not possible. But did you used to try and do that? Well?
Of course, yeah. That's one of the best things. Watching them all jumble up.
Yeah. Because that shows how into the game you are, how, you know, involved and immersed in this particular game you were. You wanted the person to win. Do you know what I mean? And you wanted to actually try and find out a way. Can I cheat a little bit? Do you know what I mean? I looked up.
So then again, it's really simple. You've got to get from the left to the right. You've got 10 goes. Well, do you press the button? Or you don't press the button.
You see top, middle, or bottom.
Top, middle, or bottom. Which one do you want? Which screen do you want to reveal itself?
And you've got to make your way to the end.
Uh-huh.
Much in this similar vein to, you know, the start of the quiz or whatever, but you're not answering questions this time. Apart from if you do come up against the question.
So what you want is 10 arrows. I'll go top.
Yeah.
It's an arrow. Right, you're on to the next one. I'll go bottom. It's an arrow. You're on to the next one. Oh, I'll go middle. It's a question. You don't want a hotspot because these have only got two chances. So if they get a hotspot early on, the peril is immense. But what happens in this bit? It's the most feel-good bit of telly I've seen in years and years and years. It's amazing.
It is, because it's wonderful, isn't it? Because they go on a magnificent run, don't they? They get a few questions, don't they? But the majority are arrows.
Arrows are unheard of, and Barrymore is so class at willing them on.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yes! You're almost
He
there.
Really wants them to win, isn't he? It's absolutely class.
It's great. He's so good at tuning them on and willing them to get across. And it seems very genuine. Like, seems really genuine that he wants to do that. But anyway, they get to four or three before the end, and they haven't had any hotspots. So basically, if their next choice is to get a question right or it's an arrow, they're in the clear.
Then they've won, because they're allowed two hotspots, aren't they? So they've won. And of course they do, don't
they? That is exactly what happens.
Do you think, right, Cliff, that there's some kind of manipulation going on, though?
Well,
do you think that's possible? Because they're television screens, though, aren't they? Who could control all those television screens?
Well, who's turning them on or off?
Yeah, that is a good point. That is a good point.
Because what have you got? Two hotspots, one and two. You've got 8 minutes of TV.
Exactly what they're going to do at the end there. I mean, they could obviously just fill it out with the stuff that Barrymore's done at the start with the contestants, couldn't they? It's an interesting thing. Well, it would be nice to hear from someone who worked on Strike It Lucky. I mean, it's gone now. They could come clean, couldn't they, and see whether it was manipulated or whatever.
I mean, it has to be. It has to be. I bet Kathy wouldn't have had a good run to the end. She got through.
Oh, no, they would have treated her. Not with kid gloves that tight.
They would have fucked her over. Big style.
You bitch. I think it's just their personality, Kathy. People have got different personalities, haven't they? And she was just a very blunt person. You get them.
You get them, don't you?
So anyway,
Doreen and Kay win, and everybody's really happy for them. And Barrymore's cock-a-hoop.
Yeah. Trip to New England, the win, and £5,000. And all the other prizes that they've won on the television screens.
He says, New England, that's in America, for anybody who doesn't realise.
He does indeed.
So what happened was, Barry was so big, he had loads of TV shows. So he had this.
Yeah.
He had Barrymore, which I've got to be honest, I can't remember, but apparently it ran for almost 10 years, like without break. And then he had...
I think in my mind, I'll maybe mingle them together. I definitely would have watched it. You would have watched it, but... There was like My Kind of People and stuff like that.
My Kind of People was essentially Barrymore went to shopping centres in provincial towns.
On the road. Yeah, he went on the road, didn't he?
And invited people to perform acts, which invariably...
But there was also a part of that where he was back in the studio. He was back in the studio in parts of that, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Interviewing the various people who he'd met along the road or whatever.
Yeah.
So... I think I've mingled that up a little bit with Barrymore, I think. I sent you a link to an
episode of Barrymore, which was a chat show, which apparently, if you read like Wikipedia or whatever, it says he had massive guests on it. But what I thought was great about this, when you only watched the first bit, was there weren't massive guests. There were normal people with some talents. Got an 80-year-old lady who's playing the saw, who started out whistling back in the day.
I saw a bit of that.
Graduated to the saw.
I saw a bit of this. Graduated to the saw. I mean, how does that happen? How do you graduate from whistling to the saw?
Then there's an 81-year-old former stage star who's a London Jewish comic who... absolutely takes over. This old guy who's first on stage in 1937 as a 13-year-old. An amazing story. Mm-hmm. He's recorded with Al Jolson, and he's toured with Perry Como, he said, and all of this kind of stuff. And he comes on and he just absolutely takes over. He has Barrymore's life. Like, he's he's won't let him talk. He's interrupting him all the time. He's like, "You're meant to ask us about me table tennis," and he's like, "No, he's like, I haven't got to that. I've only just introduced." And he's like, "Well, you should have an auto cue. You'd know what to ask us then." Like, and he's like, so Barrymore's like proper. He can't get an edge to it. It's so funny.
Yeah.
The final guest of it. The Chippendales.
Sorry, I was going to say the Chippendales are there. That's a bit of an odd one. Does Dave Barrymore take off his clothes, or does he have a muscle suit on, or something?
Both.
Both.
So he's interviewing the Chippendales.
A little dicky boy.
Quite, yes. Very awkward, stilted conversation with these three Chippendales, American chaps. At one point, he says, "So, I don't know, Michael or whatever, Mike, probably Mike. So, Mike, is there any perks of being a Chippendale?" And he just goes, "Perks? I don't know what you mean, perks." And there's about 5 minutes where he's trying to think of what that word might translate to in American. And there's people shouting out from the audience, and somebody shouts out something, tips. He goes, "Tits? Is there any tits? My brain in Chippendale?" And this guy in the audience goes, "No tips." And he's like, "Tips? That's not what perks means." And honestly, this goes on for absolutely. He's like, "Advantages. Is there any advantages of being a Chippendale?" And the guy starts talking. Yeah. And he goes, "I'll tell you what a perk is." And honestly, this bit had me like in tears. He goes, "You work in an office Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. On a Friday afternoon when no one's looking, take a carrier bag in, fill it with stationery, take it home. That's a perk of the job, isn't it? You don't tell anyone, you're not meant to do it, but you get to take some stationery home every week. Like, that's a perk of working in that office." Like, the Chippendale guy's just sitting there in this suit. Obviously, he's stripping suit. Like, what the fuck's
he's going stripping on? Suit.
He's like, "I get to travel the world with my friends." Like, okay, mate. Then they perform.
Yeah.
You can leave your hat on. And Barrymore's performs the entire routine with them. He's incredible. Uh-huh. He's learned the entire routine. He's like doing the proper dancing and like kicking high kicks over the chair and jumping off the, like rolling around on the floor and all of this kind of stuff. It's brilliant. And then you go behind the screen and you can just see their silhouette. And he keeps like popping up and like singing along with the word, like miming to the words. And like you can just see the little dicky bow tie and all of that kind of stuff. Lo and behold, he comes out and he's got a muscle suit on. So all of the three things that he said.
They're in there. That's class. That's class. I only saw the start of that where there was the very young Cockney boy who was doing a really old act, which was, I still found quite funny.
He's like, "So who do you like?" Class. He's like, "I like Roy Hood." And he's like, "All right, you like Roy? I used to perform with him."
Max Bygraves.
He's like, he's talking to this kid. He's 10. He's like, you ever managed to see his live show?
It's very good. You should watch it. He's like, no.
You know, he's 10.
Something very strange going on. But this kid's a proper performer, isn't he? He's absolutely wonderful. He's got the crowd in his pocket and stuff like that. He's absolutely amazing.
Can you remember his name?
So, I can't remember his name. Has he gone on to become a famous man?
It made me laugh, though, when they said his name. Here he is. It's Chalky Adams.
Chalky Adams, oh, class. It's like the fast show, isn't it? That's what it reminded me of. What's his name on the fast show? The old fella? He's got the washboard. He was like, "Where's me washboard?"
Well, the old Jewish comedian was like. He was a cross between him. And you know the fellow who used to sit in the pub. "Are you a fan of our Blue Eyes, are you?"
Yeah. Oh, class. But that's wonderful, isn't it? You didn't get stuff like that, man.
But not a celebrity on it.
You really don't.
I mean, the Chippendales.
And that's the good thing. Do you know what I mean? Everything now, celebrities, isn't it? You've got quiz shows where the celebrities turn up and stuff, and like for example, The Chase or whatever, and the questions are easier. That easier on them.
Celebrity quiz
like
shows are the fucking worst, especially when charity ones. just fucking, instead of going through the whole thing, just donate some money to charity. It's the worst invention on earth.
It is.
Also, the other thing now would be a real person on a chat show. There wouldn't be a real person like these guys, would there? There would be like a wannabe, you know, an influencer or something like that, you know, like.
Plus the, like the vetting process and stuff like that with these shows and stuff like that, it's immense. I mean, we've spoken to Woody and stuff about being on The Chase and how many times they spoke to him and things like that. You wouldn't imagine that process, you know, in 1993 being the same. You get some characters through, wouldn't you? Slip through the net, like Kathy. Do you know what I mean? Even though Kathy's very blunt and stuff like that, she's a massive part of the show, isn't she? It's, like it's brilliant, really.
They were like a
Poor Gordon.
What did I say, Gordon?
Oh, yeah. I didn't fucking see that. I didn't see that, train. Gordon, did I? No, I didn't say that. You're lying, little sod.
It was great. Honestly, it was great. Both things were really, really good. Barry Moore's career just went downhill. He got cancelled well before.
I think everybody knows about that, don't they? I think we should leave it on a bit of a high and how much we enjoyed it.
I wasn't going to go into it anymore. Just, you know, it's a...
Yeah.
Who knows what really happened with that?
Well, nobody knows.
Nothing good. Nothing good for all kinds of reasons.
And as you said, as a homosexual man, times were different back then. Certain newspapers and stuff like that definitely sort of...
Oh, had it in
from, didn't they?
The Sun had totally stitched
him. Big star.
Regardless. Mm-hmm. Regardless. So, yeah, but just when you watch this, you just realize what a huge star he was and why it was 100% deserved. He was absolutely
ruled
TV, and it's because he was brilliant. Like,
that's right.
Ways about it. He was superb. And both of these shows were great. The second one, I fast forward a little bit of the second one just because I was like, didn't want to watch all of it because we were getting ready to do this, but it did have the adverts in, Brett. So you'll be happy.
That's me. And obviously, I've talked about this before, but I did see Barrymore with me flesh eyes at Southern Empire. Doing Scrooge. It was Scrooge. Yes, he was absolutely fantastic. And me and mom obviously is a big fan of Michael Barrymore.
Good.
It's what all were in our house. I think I've told this story a lot of times, haven't I? And when they finished and stuff like that, he was taking applause from the crowd. My mom stood up and went, "You're innocent, Michael. You're innocent." right at the front.
Good.
Me, good old mom. Yes. So we'll have a Barrymore quiz.
Let's do it.
Good. You've probably answered most of the questions throughout your little podcast there where you've been discovering the facts, but we'll see. Barrymore appeared on Irish TV where he unexpectedly performed numerous bizarre and controversial antics, including pretending to be whose father?
Jedward.
Well done. Yes, it was Jedward. There you go. Barrymore appeared in which film as Mr. Step?
Spice World.
Oh, you know your Barrymore stuff.
I love him.
Barrymore won Most Popular Entertainment Presenter in 2000, but who were the other nominees? Oh, it's a bit harder, this one.
Oh, I don't know this one.
Cast your mind back.
What is it?
22 years ago, who were the top stars on TV?
What was the award, did you say?
It was a Most Popular Entertainment Presenter. So think about the shows that were going. He's not on there, I'm afraid. Yeah, no.
Good.
No.
I'm not a fan of Forsyth.
Are you not? I like Forsyth, mate.
Not a big fan.
I do. There's some controversial. Well, there's definitely one controversial character on the list. That's your clue.
Julian Clary.
Not Julian Clary, no. Think more about Snooker and you tonight.
Davidson.
Yes, Jim Davidson's Edmunds? In there. Edmunds is not in there.
After Edmunds.
There's a female in there who smokes cigars.
What?
Davina McCall.
She was in there.
She does smoke cigars. probably the biggest quiz show at the time, which was quite new.
Christopher's.
What? Who?
Tarrant,
yes. And one more that you've got to get. Unfortunately, he's now dead.
Okay. I mean,
Scylla's best friend. Scylla's best friend.
Oh, is it good old Dale?
It's Dale, yes. So he's got tough competition there, hasn't he?
Last seen on a yacht with Scylla Black.
Well, there you go. In the first 6 years of the National Television Awards, how many times did Barrymore win Most Popular Entertainment Presenter?
I think he won it every time.
Every time. It's close. He won it 5 times out of 6.
Oh, who was the other one?
I have no idea. I knew you were going to ask that. Jim Davidson, of course.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Who performed on My Kind of People 13 years before she was famous, singing I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar?
Susan Boyle.
It was Susan Boyle, yes. And apparently Barrymore was like looking up her skirt, singing and mocking her a little bit.
Yeah, he definitely he crossed the line in about 1996, where his behaviour just became like probably offensive. He wouldn't leave people alone at that
probably
point.
Probably offensive.
He was always just doing stuff.
I haven't actually seen it. I think, you know, you probably able to watch it on YouTube or whatever. I haven't actually
seen
it.
Yeah, there's a clip. It's on there, yeah. It's on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you got everyone right there, Cliff. Well done to
everyone, but thank you very much. It's another sign.
Yes,
you should do all the quizzes. We've got some music.
We do indeed. Yes, we'll have music from the Debris. This is a good one. I like this one a lot. It's called Tomorrow Never Comes Today.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well,
they're from The Big Smoke, London, and that.
They are, yeah.
And their debut album's supposed to be coming out this year.
Well, that'll be good. Before that, I wonder what they think about being tacked on the end of a Michael Barrymore episode, but.
Who knows? Hopefully they'll enjoy that.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And we urge you to reinvestigate Barrymore at your own will.
Yes.
Pleasure and peril. Mm-hmm. So thanks, everyone. Enjoy the debris and take care. We'll be back next time with who knows what. See you.
Who knows? Bye.
Me, don't invite me. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.